Hi folks, this is Tony for aminutetomidnight.com. Please make sure you subscribe to us by going to our website aminutetomidnight.com and entering your email address by going down the right hand side of the page, and then you'll get notified of all of our shows and videos and articles and so forth. So this short video, I want to just expose a little bit more of the dystopian nightmare that we are heading more and more and deeper into, under the guise of keeping us safe, which of course is a total lie, because it's anything but safe, it's control, and that is what the agenda ultimately is. Control, and to some degree depopulation. And if you've ever wondered why it is that all countries seem to be heading in the same direction, well, it's been planned for a long, long time. I'm not even really going to try anymore to keep up with everything that goes on. It's just impossible. Things change so fast. But I just want to bring you a little bit of an overview here. I wonder how many of you have heard of the Young Global Leaders, or Forum of Young Global Leaders, an independent non-profit organization managed from Geneva, Switzerland, under the supervision of the Swiss government. Launched by Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum in 2004, the Young Global Leaders are governed by a board of 12 world and industry leaders, ranging from Queen Rania of Jordan to Marissa Mayer of Yahoo and Wikipedia co-founder Jimmy Wales. Now, if you scroll down this Wikipedia article, have a look. Notable members and alumni of the Young Global Leaders. Who is top of the list there? Jacinda Ardern, the Prime Minister of New Zealand. You'll see a lot of other names, including Emmanuel Macron and Ivanka Trump and Mark Zuckerberg. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Now let's go across to younggloballeaders.org, their website, and it says, who are we? The Young Global Leaders community is an accelerator for a dynamic community of exceptional people with the vision, courage, and influence to drive positive change in the world. Our growing membership of more than 1,400 members and alumni of 120 nationalities includes civic and business innovators, entrepreneurs, technology pioneers, educators, activists, artists, journalists, and more. Aligned with the World Economic Forum's mission, we seek to drive public-private cooperation in the global public interest. We are united by the belief that today's pressing problems present an opportunity to build a better future across sectors and boundaries. The Forum of Young Global Leaders accelerates the impact of a diverse community of responsible leaders across borders and sectors to shape a more inclusive and sustainable future. Klaus Schwab, the founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum, created the Forum of Young Global Leaders in 2004 to help the world meet increasingly complex and interdependent problems. His vision was to create a proactive, multi-stakeholder community of the world's next generation leaders to inform and influence decision-making and mobilize transformation. Through the Forum of Young Global Leaders, Klaus Schwab envisioned facilitating earnest dialogue and friendships across cultures to bridge divides, fostering fresh thinking and dynamic new ways of collaboration to shape a more positive, peaceful, and prosperous future. What a load of rubbish. And of course, we know that Klaus Schwab, his ultimate goal is transhumanism, and I've covered that before. He is a transhumanist, an avowed transhumanist. So if you're a New Zealander and you're wondering why our country's gone down the tubes and Jacinda Ardern is taking us into some form of socialism, communism, world government, here's why. Look, she's right there, poster girl for the World Economic Forum's Young Global Leaders. And of course, she was also a recipient of a Freemason scholarship, which got her through university. She is fulfilling the wishes of Klaus Schwab and the globalists that put her into power. She's a willing puppet of the World Economic Forum and the global puppet masters, and she has sold us as a nation, her and all the other politicians, they've sold us out to the global world government plan. And let's not forget that besides having a Freemason scholarship to get herself through university, Jacinda Ardern was also the president of International Union of Socialist Youth in 2008, and here's a little piece of an address she gave back then to her comrades.
And comrades, as the four crises built into the perfect storm, and as the world looks for answers and responses to the economic crisis, it will be you who will fill the gap in the void that the world is facing now, and you are you.
During that speech to UC, or International Union of Socialist Youth, Ardern used the word comrade numerous times. And is it any wonder then that she's leading us into a socialist, communist-type regime, a dictatorship?
It's the same we have to apply now on a global level. As long as not everybody is vaccinated, nobody will be safe.
And Ardern and her government have introduced vaccine passports this week. That means that people like me who are not vaccinated are excluded from many areas of society, such as cafes and so forth. And if you think she'll let up on vaccination, her mandate to have everyone vaccinated, after just listening to Klaus Schwab, her boss at the World Economic Forum, telling her that everybody needs to be vaccinated, don't think for a minute she's going to let up. Now, I just want to read a few bits from a long article at the RAIR Foundation, R-A-I-R, Foundation USA, written by Michael Lord, and it's titled Exposed: Klaus Schwab's School for COVID Dictators Plan for Great Reset. Economist Ernst Wolf believes that a hidden alliance of political and corporate leaders is exploiting the pandemic with the aim of crashing national economies and introducing a global digital currency. How is it that more than 190 governments from all over the world ended up dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic in almost exactly the same manner, with lockdowns, mask mandates, and vaccination cards now being commonplace everywhere? The answer may lie in the Young Global Leaders School, which was established and managed by Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum, and that many of today's prominent political and business leaders passed through on their way to the top. The German economist, journalist, and author Ernst Wolf has revealed some facts about Schwab's Young Global Leaders School that are relevant for understanding world events during the pandemic. In a video from German Corona Committee podcast, while Wolf is mainly known as a critic of the globalist financial system, recently he has focused on bringing to light what he sees as a hidden agenda behind the anti-COVID measures that are being enacted around the world. Skipping down the article a bit, in 1992, Schwab established a parallel institution, the Global Leaders for Tomorrow School, which was re-established as Young Global Leaders in 2004. Attendees at the school must apply for admission and are then subjected to a rigorous selection process. Many of the school's very first class in 1992 already included many who went on to become important liberal political figures, such as Angela Merkel, Nicolas Sarkozy, and Tony Blair. There are currently about 1,300 graduates of the school, and the list of alumni includes several names who went on to become leaders of the health institutions of their respective nations. Four of them are former and current health ministers for Germany, including Jens Spahn, who has been Federal Minister of Health since 2018, Philip Rossler, who was Minister of Health from 2009 until 2011 and was appointed the World Economic Forum's Managing Director by Schwab in 2014. Other notable names on the school's roster are Jacinda Ardern, the Prime Minister of New Zealand, whose stringent lockdown measures have been praised by global health authorities, Emmanuel Macron, the President of France, Sebastian Kurz, who was until recently the Chancellor of Austria, Viktor Orban, Prime Minister of Hungary, Jean-Claude Juncker, former Prime Minister of Luxembourg, and the President of the European Commission, and Annalena Baerbock, the leader of the German Greens, who was the party's first candidate for chancellor in this year's federal election and who is still in the running to be Merkel's successor. We also find California Governor Gavin Newsom on the list, who was selected for the class of 2005, as well as a former presidential candidate and current US Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg, or Buttigieg, or however you pronounce it, who is a very recent alumnus, having been selected for the class of 2019. All of these politicians who were in office during the past 2 years have favoured harsh responses to the COVID-19 pandemic, and which also happened to considerably increase their respective governments' power. But the school's list of alumni is not limited to political leaders. We also find many of the captains of private industry there, including Microsoft's Bill Gates, Amazon's Jeff Bezos, Virgin's Richard Branson, and the Clintons Foundation, Chelsea Clinton. And again, all of them expressed support for the global response to the pandemic, and many reaped considerable profits as a result of the measures. Wolf believes that the people behind the World Economic Forum and the Global Leaders School are the ones who really determine who will become political leaders, although he stresses that he doesn't believe that Schwab himself is the one making these decisions, but merely a facilitator. He further points out that the school's alumni include not only Americans and Europeans, but also people from Asia, Africa, and South America, indicating that its reach is truly worldwide. Now, the whole article's worth reading, but for the sake of time, I'm going to skip down to another piece. Graduates from the Global Leaders School and the Global Leaders for Tomorrow before them find themselves very well situated, given that they then have access to the World Economic Forum's network of contacts. The WEF's current board of trustees includes such luminaries as Christine Lagarde, former managing director of the International Monetary Fund and current president of the European Central Bank, Queen Rania of Jordan, who has been ranked by Forbes as one of the 100 most powerful women in the world, and Larry Fink, CEO of BlackRock, the largest investment management corporation internationally, and which handles approximately $9 trillion annually. By tracing the connections between the school's graduates, Wolf claims that you can see that they continue to rely on each other for support for their initiatives long after they participated in the Global Leaders programs. Going further down the article again, digital technology, which is now all-pervasive, is also playing a prominent role in the elite's global designs. Wolf highlights that BlackRock, run by Globalist Leaders alumnus Larry Fink, is currently the largest advisor to the world's central banks and has been collecting data on the world's financial system for more than 30 years now, and undoubtedly has a greater understanding of how the system works than the central banks themselves. Wolf contends that the ultimate goal of this domination by large platforms is to see the introduction of a digital bank currency. And so on, the article goes. You should be able to see here the writing on the wall, and that they are not going to stop. They have all these people in powerful positions. And Klaus Schwab has told us that the COVID pandemic represents a rare opportunity to reset the world, and the Great Reset is the mantra that they are running under.
The world needs an organization like the WHO. We need global health security. We need transparency, communication, coordination, collaboration, and the solidarity that we all talk about. If we don't have that, it becomes maybe not impossible, but extremely problematic to address an emerging outbreak. Even when we're at the stage where we are right now, when we have the emergence of mutants in countries as far away as the Republic of South Africa, and California just came out with their own variant, which is different from all of the above.
Ah, mutants. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the highest paid government official in the US, and perhaps the first human to prominently display the features of a weasel, is also a World Economic Forum stool pigeon and a Jesuit.
I had the good fortune to graduate from Regis High School in 1958. I often say it was the best educational experience I could have imagined. I became immersed in the intellectual rigor of a Jesuit education. Importantly, certain tenets of the Jesuit tradition have sustained me throughout my life and career. Two of these, precision of thought and economy of expression, inform how I think, how I write, and how I communicate with the public every day, especially during the present unsettling times. Just as important, however, is the Jesuit emphasis on social justice and service to others. And now is the time, if ever there was one, for us to care selflessly about one another.
The lies coming from people like Dr. Fauci are culpable. It's not about keeping people safe. And if you want to know where this is really going, what the end goal is, have a listen to some segments from an interview done with Melissa Shimei from a bit of a longer interview, but these little segments that I'm going to play here give you a very good idea about where this is actually heading and what the end goal is.
Melissa Shimei, welcome to the Iconoclast One-to-One. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for inviting me. They want to put all your medical data and all your financial data onto that chip. That will be your complete ID, and they can control you or shut you out of society from that. Ideally, they'd like to put a quantum tattoo so that they can remotely medicate you. That sounds absolutely insane. That's the road that we are going down right now. This is a banking crisis. Every fiat currency in history, and there have been thousands, have returned to zero. This is where we are. With the pound and the dollar have already lost over 99% of their value. They're just going to eradicate the other 1%. This is why the money is being printed. The money is being printed so that the central banks can give it out to the hedge fund companies, asset management firms. They're buying up all the actual assets while we are being paid to stay at home and say nothing.
So the central bank, because what I've heard about obviously is this is a central bank digital currency. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between that then and a fiat currency? Like if this is another reset, is it going to be the same story or is this going to be different?
The central bank digital currency is the end game. Along with totalitarian control. In order to bring in a central bank digital currency, you need a digital ID. In order to bring in a digital ID, you need these passports. That will all be combined with a social credit system and a carbon credits system. Central bank digital currency has all the good aspects of a fiat currency for the government and nothing of what is good for us. The only benefit we have of a fiat currency. A fiat currency is basically, it's backed by nothing. It's a currency because the government say it is so. What we gain from that is privacy. That's what we are going to lose when we move into a central bank digital currency, and they're going to have complete control over every aspect of our finances. They can dictate where in the economy that you can spend it. They can say that you can only spend it in essential goods or on rent. They can fine you at will. They have complete control over every aspect of your finances. Now, when you link that into a social credits concept, they can sanction you or reward you. This has already been trialed in, I think, a province in northern China, where you go from a AAA rating down to a D rating. AAA, you get preference for jobs, your children get preference for schooling. D, they can take your qualifications off you.
They can take your qualifications.
They can take your qualifications.
So they can literally say no. We can just dismiss anything you've actually achieved in your life.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Mm-hmm.
How close are we to this?
We are very close to this because of compliance. Everybody has to buy into this. we have watched them move down the propaganda move down the demographic. This started off with protect the vulnerable. Then it went down the age groups, pregnant women. Now it's children. Everybody, without exception, has to buy into this. This is the new financial system.
Why do they need children? Children are earning, they're not, you know, so right now, why are they after them right now?
Well, they need to condition them and they still need to be part, right now children would still need to be part of the financial system. They also need the data from the children. We are moving into AI technology. Mm-hmm. Data is the new gold. Energy is the new currency, data is the new gold. With the children, they have them from a young age, they can track their behaviours. AI is only as good as the information that goes into it. So if you are gathering all this data from the children, you can program AI. Under the Obama administration, this last day in office, there was a paper that backed up by MIT that 83% of all jobs earning $20 or less will be automated away by 2030. The future is AI. They need the data.
That's a tremendous number of people, surely.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to happen to them?
Universal basic income.
So they will be sitting at home getting a basic wage, but they won't be able to actually participate then? Is that what you're saying?
Kind of in
terms of production, in terms of actually leading?
They won't be needed. Production. They will not be needed. With the way technology is going, they're expected not to be needed.
Okay, so this sounds absolutely terrifying and complete doom and gloom. Is it inevitable? Are we absolutely going to end up where these people who are organising this actually want us to go?
If we continue to comply, yes. The target is small to medium businesses because they account for 60% of all jobs, and the target is the children. I don't know why anybody would let their child take part in this clinical trial there. Of virtually no risk. There's more risk of them drowning. Even if it was 100% safe and there was long-term data done, why would you let your child participate? There is a push right now, as I say, it's moved down the demographic. The push is now for children. I know in the north, it's only just the vaccination for children only just started. Already 25%, just over 25% of 12 to 15 year olds have taken part. 56% of children aged 16 to 17 have taken part. They have to get them into the system. So in order for this new financial system, it's in order to participate in society right now, we have to have these passports. If they were told from the beginning that you're not really, at best it's treatment to reduce symptoms, you're not covered for the first 2 weeks, but you're not really covered until you get the second one and it wanes after 6 months. So you're actually only covered for 4 months. This is the information we know right now.
Yeah.
Why would you be getting your children it? If you know that at best it only protects you for 4 months, why would you be getting your children? It's simple. Let's be real, parents. It's so that your children can participate in society. That is the only reason that you are taking them in and getting them it. You're taking a risk so that your children could participate in society. We have to have these passports to participate in society. The next move is that we have to have a central bank digital currency wallet in order to participate in the financial society.
So what do we do? What does the ordinary person in the street do? What does a small business owner do? What we need some solutions here, because obviously that is pretty dystopian.
For a small to medium business owner, what they need to do is absolutely do not comply. Their threat is unlawful fines. Their business will be gone anyway. They're under attack. These businesses have to be eradicated in order for the new system to come into place, because they need you dependent on the state for the social credits, the carbon.
So you're saying that even if they do comply now, essentially they're going to try and find another way to squeeze them out?
Well, they have reduced their footfall. It started with nobody could participate in society. Then it was, if you comply, you can participate in society. Then it's going to be, if you adopt central bank digital currency, you can participate in society. And then it's going to be social and carbon credits. So for these businesses, they could just decide to, I think it was after World War I, taxes were 90%. they can just go straight into their account and tax them 90%, whatever they want. They have complete control, but they want them gone because they want to eradicate any independence. So they need to not comply. Those businesses, especially restaurants, they're dependent. They have a small profit margin. They're dependent on footfall. The government is dictating who their customer base is. If, for me, if a business puts out that they, you have to have a passport to enter the business, I'm not showing my papers. I know how this works in history.
Yeah.
I am not showing my papers to enter a business because there's absolutely no reason for you to need to know my vaccine status for me to enter your business. It's not a medical decision, and I know how it's going to work out economically.
But particularly because it's been shown that it's not stopping transmission. I think that, and it's such a good point, you know, that people are taking it actually to protect themselves, maybe at best. Mm-hmm. And the reality, really, and even people who are delighted with a, what's it called, or like a recovered certificate, they still have to show their medical information. So they're still part, so they kind of feel, oh, well, I haven't had the vaccine, so I'm kind of cleverly avoided that, but they're still in. So the reality is it's going to move on probably from vaccines, and it's going to be something else.
What happens when your 9 months runs out? Mm. This is coming for everybody. You might be going ahead and going to the restaurants right now because your passport is green. It's a matter of time before everybody's passport turns from green to red for various different reasons. It could be they could decide if you that you have mental health issues, and if you don't take a particular medication, or if you that you have to take statins, anything in order to participate in society. The new normal is a continual changing of the goalposts. Mm. So you will never be fully in. It is like the constant updates that you get in the computer. You're never completely updated. Same with your phone.
Always happens at the wrong time as well, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Just as you're about to do something, that and it goes on and you're stuck. And then you're stuck. You can't do anything. Mm-hmm. You're literally waiting.
Well, you could be about to go out to eat and you're... Because if you look at... under the WF, we have right now, we have the Internet of Things. They want to move into the Internet of Bodies. The Internet of Things is, so your watch connects with your phone connects with your fridge, your TV.
They want heating system, like everything.
They want it to be Internet of Bodies, where you connect via, in their words, an ingestible, a wearable, or an injectable. This is their words, so that you connect to all of this. This is all data that's available. Go and look at the WEF website, scroll down, Fourth Industrial Revolution. They want to blur the line between human and technology robots. And you have these billionaires trying to take over control of the people and all of the wealth. That's what's happening right now. Like, while we're sitting at home, there's a wealth heist going on. Everything is being bought up around us. And meanwhile, what we have is being inflated away.
CVI published its advice in the last hour. First, it advised that the minimum dose interval for booster jabs should be halved from 6 months to 3 months. Second, that the booster programme should be expanded to include all remaining adults aged 18 and above. Third, that these boosters should be offered by age group in a descending order to protect those who are most vulnerable to the virus. So priority will be given to older adults and people over 16 who are at risk. Fourth, that severely immunosuppressed people aged 16 or above who've received 3 primary doses should now also be offered a booster dose. Finally, that children aged between 12 and 15 should be given a second dose 12 weeks from the first dose. I have accepted this advice in full. With this new variant on the offensive, these measures will protect more people more quickly and make us better protected as a nation.
This is looking increasingly like Revelation chapter 13, and it's not going to get any easier It's very unsettling. I'm sure we're all unsettled. It's a very difficult time, but we have to realise that our faith needs to be in Jesus Christ. It can't be in anything else. And if we do that, if we put our trust in God, He will take care of us. And we have to be prepared to lose our lives anyway, if necessary, and not shrink back. Martyrdom has happened to the church all throughout history, people that stood up for the truth and for the gospel. And this could be going to go that same way for all of us in the future. And the way it's going, it's happening very fast. Who knows? But put our trust in God. That's first and foremost what we have to do. Make sure that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour. And apart from that, try and get outside of the system as much as possible and prepare as best as you can for survival and so forth, whatever means you have. But trust God to give you the guidance on what to do. We all need that guidance from the Lord right now more than we ever have before. So really pray to God to give you that guidance as to what to do personally, how to get outside of the system and what sort of preparations to do in order to be able to survive, and get in community with as many like-minded people as you possibly can as well. That's it for this video. Make sure that you are subscribed to us at aminutetomidnight.com by going to our website and entering your email address down the right-hand side of the page where it says to subscribe to blog. A Minute to Midnight is run 100% by donations. Obviously, it's difficult for everyone financially at this time. If you're able to support us, it's always greatly appreciated. We really are so thankful for the people that do help us out. And you can do that, donate at aminutetomidnight.com. The music used, I have written, played and recorded, and you can download that at the website as well. So that's it for this show. We should be back hopefully with another video in a few days' time. Until then, stay safe and God bless.